Shia Imam and grandson of Prophet Muhammad, joining us now from the holy city of Catalyst, Press TV's very own Gisumi Shahadi, to tell us more about what's going on in the city and the atmosphere that we're seeing behind you right now.
Just for you to catch a glimpse of how many people are actually here in the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I tried to change my location to a better place where you can see the people coming from different parts leading to Bayn al-Haramain, where you see behind me is the area that I talked to you about. Bayn al-Haramain is the area between the holy shrine of Imam Hussein and the shrine of his half-brother Abul Fadl al-Abbas, and you can see huge crowds that are entering and then moving out from this area. Like I said before, the governor says that he is prepared for hosting 30 million people, and by 30 million pilgrims we mean people who come here, visit, say hello, pay their respects and leave. So over the course of the past week until today and probably until Friday, we're expecting about 30 million people to convert here in the holy shrine of Imam Hussein, where right now you can see the main entrance, and also behind it you can probably see the golden dome of Abul Fadl al-Abbas's holy shrine, as I mentioned before. Like I said, this is a very important occasion for Muslims, and they make sure that they can make this journey on the occasion of Arba'in to come and visit the holy shrine, pay their respects, and of course, most importantly, to pledge allegiance to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the values that he fought for and was martyred for.
Thanks a lot, Gisumi Shahadi. Gisumi Shahadi joining us from the Iraqi holy city of Karbala. The city of Karbala in Iraq is hosting millions of Muslims from across the world who are commemorating Arba'in. Arba'in means 40th in Arabic, which is 40 days following the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein III, Shia Imam and the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. We are going to keep a close eye on all the latest developments and bring you further analysis of the importance of this day right here on Press TV. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back.
How about me?
This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Well, we are continuing with our live coverage of the mourning ceremonies on the occasion of Arba'in, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the third Shiite Imam and the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This year, we've seen huge numbers, massive numbers, tens of millions of pilgrims converging on the holy Iraqi city of Karbala for the Arba'in mourning ceremonies. The governor of Karbala, Nasif al-Khatib, has said that he expects as many as 30 million pilgrims to converge on Karbala this year. And today, Wednesday, 6th of September, is the culmination of the mourning ceremonies of Arba'in. The governor of Karbala has also said that he expects the number of pilgrims over the next 10 years to reach as many as 40 to 50 million. But certainly, there has been huge numbers have turned up to Karbala for the Imam Hussein's mourning ceremonies. And we continue with our live coverage of the Karbala mourning ceremonies after this short break. King's pilgrimaging on foot. Ayan, 35 years old, from the Netherlands. Arba'in is a day of pilgrimage to the shrine of Chief of Martyrs, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, peace be upon him, in Karbala, Iraq. Literally, millions of pilgrims converge every year on Karbala to mourn the Chief of Martyrs. This movement is so huge, with tens of millions of pilgrims converging on Karbala, many of them on foot, that even those who deny or those who do not believe in the Chief of Martyrs often ask, who is Imam Hussein? In this mini-series of programs, we look at pilgrims from non-Muslim countries who have taken part in the Great Arba'in Walk, converging on Karbala. This is their story in their own words. And today we look at how a young man from Holland became a Muslim and his take on Arba'in. Please stay with us. I am Arjan, from the Netherlands. I'm 35 years old. Ever since I was a 14-year-old teenager, I gathered information about different religions and spiritual practices so that I could discover the truth. When I was 18 years old, I decided to live as a devout Christian or born-again Christian. I particularly liked devout Christians who were spiritual and mystical. At that time, one of my friends told me that the Holy Quran tells us about Prophet Jesus and Mary, Mother of Jesus, peace be upon them. Interestingly, the friend who told me this wasn't a Muslim himself, but he pushed me towards Islam. At that time, I had no information about Islam, and I hadn't studied it as a religion. I decided to study Islam, and I bought a copy of the Holy Quran. After reading the Holy Quran, it became apparent to me that the Holy Quran is God's words, and Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was sent by God. For a short while, I studied other religions too, for example, Buddhism and Hinduism. But I was well aware that with the passage of centuries, religions could deviate and go astray. I decided to study all religions, particularly newer religions, but at that point, I didn't want to change my religion or convert to Islam. I just wanted to study and to do research. Another important event in my life was that I travelled to Istanbul, Turkey, with a bunch of fellow university students as exchange students. The university believed that the East and the West must interact more closely and draw closer together, so they organised this trip to Istanbul, Turkey, and exchange of university students. Istanbul, of course, was considered the gateway between Asia and Europe. As a tourist in Istanbul, I went to the famous Hagia Sophia Mosque. I wanted to pray in a mosque, so I chose a smaller mosque in that vicinity, the Ebrahim Pasha Mosque. The first time I went to the Ebrahim Pasha Mosque to pray, I beseeched God to guide me onto the correct path. To me, spirituality is very important. After I performed my prayer in the Ebrahim Pasha Mosque, one of the local clerics in the mosque came with me to the hotel and talked to me and asked me a few questions. He asked me if I believed in God, if I believed in the Day of Judgment, and if I believed in life after death. He also asked me if I believed in angels. After I answered all of his questions, he told me I was practically a Muslim. He said, "If you like, I can administer the Shahadatain right now, and you can become a Muslim officially." I thought to myself, I must not waste this opportunity. This is exactly what I had asked the Lord Most High in my prayers and supplications. I hope that Arba'in is an opportunity for all Muslims who have gathered in Karbala to communicate with one another, and I hope that non-Muslims could get to know true, genuine Islam. Pilgrimage to Imam Hussein's shrine in Karbala, Iraq, is a great opportunity. What stands out, as far as Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, is concerned, is that he was not after power and wealth and status for himself. Rather, he always tried to unite Muslims. This is also very true about other imams in Shia Islam. When we look at the conduct of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and his children, peace be upon them, we see that the imam, when confronted by those who opposed him, gave up the caliphate, but he was very steadfast with regards to the Khawarij, the first takfiri group in Islam. He did not compromise with the Khawarij, and this is also the case with all imams. As far as they're concerned, religion is their red line. In my opinion, this is also very true about Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. He stood steadfast for truth and for righteousness, and he resisted deviation in religion. For me, the pilgrimage to Imam Hussein's shrine in Karbala in the Arba'in walk is very important. I look for spirituality during the great Arba'in walk, and I'm absolutely certain that I will find spirituality. As far as I'm concerned, you must come for yourself to the great Arba'in walk, to the great pilgrimage to Imam Hussein's shrine in Karbala. Unfortunately, Western media tend to ignore the Great Arba'in Walk, and this is a shame.
The Universal Impact of Arba'in. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, everybody, and heartfelt condolences to you all on a very poignant anniversary. Today is the 20th of Safar, or Arba'in, the traditional 40th day following the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, when our grief becomes fresh for the world's most heartrending tragedy. Please stay with us for a special feature on the magnetic personality of the younger grandson and third infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, whose shrine in Karbala, Iraq, has this year attracted a record number of pilgrims from all over the world, estimated to be around 25 million. First, listen to a passage from the Ziyarat, or standard form of salutation for the day of Arba'in. I bear witness that Allah will promptly fulfill the promise He made to you and destroy those who left you helpless and punish those who killed you. And I bear witness that you kept your promise made with Allah and strived in His way until what was certain came upon you. So curse of Allah upon those who killed you, and curse of Allah upon those who oppressed you, and curse of Allah upon the people who came to know of it and approved of all of it. The Ziyarat ul-Arba'in is one of the five manifest signs of a true believer. It is echoing today in Iraq, Iran, and all over the world through radios, TV channels, and websites, as well as recitation by dedicated individuals and groups at homes, in mosques, or at Husseiniyas, and of course, by the 25 million pilgrims assembled in Karbala for the world's largest annual gathering. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, was martyred on Ashura, or the 10th of Muharram, 61 AH, corresponding to 680 AD, in the most cruel manner, in the state of thirst and hunger, along with his two sons, including the six-month infant Ali Asghar, his brothers, his nephews, his cousins, and his small group of loyal companions. His martyrdom remains history's most heartrending tragedy that continues to jolt human conscience, inspiring the faithful to strive towards virtue and to shun vices so as to reform society and pave the way for the prevalence of justice in its true sense. For the past few weeks, all roads are leading towards Karbala for commemoration of the 20th of Safar. Devotees have converged in millions at the rendezvous of martyrs from all over Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Lebanon, Bahrain, Yemen, Arabia, the Republic of Azerbaijan, India, Africa, the Americas, and the other parts of the world. A majority of pilgrims have trekked towards Karbala on foot. Some of them are barefoot in respect to the sufferings of the children and ladies of the Prophet of Islam's blessed household who, following the tragedy of Ashura, were dragged in chains towards Kufa and then to Damascus in Syria, to the court of the tyrant Yazid, through an arduously circuitous route that traversed what are now the border areas of Turkey and Lebanon, in order to avoid towns and cities where people were sympathetic to the Ahlul Bayt. Today in Karbala, the roaring sea of mourners clad in black and chanting Ya Hussein is not afraid of the dastardly terrorists who have threatened to target them with bombs and missiles. A testimony in this regard is the presence of women, children, toddlers in prams, the elderly in wheelchairs, and even physically handicapped persons moving slowly but surely on their disabled feet with whatever strength that is left in their worn-out bodies. The eyes of the world are glued to this greatest ever annual congregation, which is remarkably disciplined, cognizant of the omnipresent Creator, obedient to the instructions of the Prophet, brimming with love for the Ahlul Bayt, punctual in performing the obligatory 5 times a day ritual prayers, observing hygienic rules, and overflowing with fraternal affection for fellow pilgrims, or whose rest and refreshments the general public, under supervision of the Iraqi and Iranian governments, is vying with each other to provide necessary amenities. There are many non-Muslims amongst the marchers to Karbala, such as Christians, Zoroastrians, Buddhists, and Hindus. Some of the prominent persons who have come to pay respects to the Chief of Martyrs are Tushar Gandhi, the great-grandson of the leader of India's freedom struggle against the British, Mahatma Gandhi, who had famously said a century ago that his non-violent movement against colonialism was inspired by Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Another prominent non-Muslim person at this year's Arbaeen in Karbala is Mandla Mandela, the grandson of South Africa's independence from apartheid, Nelson Mandela, who famously said before freedom came, "I have spent more than 20 years in prison. Then on one night, I decided to surrender by signing all the terms and conditions of government. But suddenly, I thought about Imam Hussein, peace upon him. The Karbala movement and Imam Hussein, peace upon him, gave me strength to stand for the right of freedom and liberation, and I did."
Thank you.
There are lessons to be learned here for global arrogance and its clients. The unelected and unrepresentative regimes, whose media networks deliberately ignored this largest ever annual gathering for their fears that Imam Hussein's message will awaken the masses and mobilize them for rebuilding of the sacred Baqi cemetery in Medina and for the United Muslim campaign to liberate Islam's former Qibla, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, in the Zionist usurped land of Palestine. Hopefully, the day will soon come, similar to the ignominious end of the repressive Ba'ath minority regime of Baghdad. Then only the Ummah will be able to have peace of mind, tranquility of heart, and physical safety and security for fulfilling the humanitarian duties toward making the world a peaceful place to live. Here it is worth recalling that 1,384 years ago in Damascus, when the severed heads of the martyrs of Karbala were placed before him, the godless Yazid, who masqueraded as caliph without having the least faith in Islam, poked a cane in a blasphemous manner at the blessed head of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and exultingly uttered, "A day for a day, this day is in revenge for Badr." This was a reference to the slaying of the pagan maternal grandfather and uncles of his father, the accursed Muawiyah, at the hands of Muslim defenders, especially the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, when they imposed the first ever armed encounter upon Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Yazid, his courtiers and his Umayyad clan members, especially the criminal Marwan ibn Hakam, who later became caliph, thought that their hypocrisy had finally succeeded. By posing as Muslims, like the modern-day ungodly Takfiri terrorists, they thought that they had totally humiliated the Hashemite clan. The eloquently wise sermons of Hazrat Zainab and Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon them, turned the tables on Yazid, compelling him to free the noble Ahl al-Bayt, who before returning to Medina visited Karbala to mark the first Arba'in at the unmarked and sun-scorched grave of the immortal martyr who today reposes in the magnificent golden-domed shrine. Today there is no trace of the graves of the Umayyads, let alone their palaces. While Imam Hussein, peace upon him, rules the hearts of the faithful all over the world, as is evident by the millions of devotees who converge upon Karbala from the four cardinal points of the globe, renew their allegiance to his universal mission, while scores of millions of others hold commemoration ceremonies to recount his ideals for defense of humanitarian values in their respective villages, towns, and cities. Let us join the Prophet's loyal companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, who, despite old age and poor eyesight, made his way from Medina to Iraq in grief on hearing of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and reached Karbala on the day of Arba'in in saluting the chief of martyrs. "I bear witness that you kept your promise made with Allah and strove in his way until what was certain came upon you. So curse of Allah on those who killed you, and curse of Allah on those who oppressed you, and curse of Allah on those who came to know of it and approved it." By the grace of God, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, is indeed watching us and our actions. Since as the Noble Quran says in Ayah 169 of Surah Al Imran, "Do not suppose those slain in the way of Allah to be dead. Rather, they are living and provided for near their Lord." Once the great-grandson of the Martyr of Karbala, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, was asked by Abdullah ibn Bakr if the grave of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, were to be excavated, will anything be found in it? The sixth Imam replied, "O son of Bakr, how abstruse is your question? Imam Hussein, peace upon him, along with his mother, his father, and his brother, Imam Hassan, is in the heavenly house of the Messenger of Allah, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He is living there and receiving his sustenance. If in the early days had his grave been opened, he would have been found there. But now he is alive in the presence of his Lord." Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, then added, "He is watching those who cry for him. He prays for their forgiveness and also requests his ancestors to seek forgiveness for those mourning him. And he says, 'O you mourners, had you known what all I have arranged for you, then you will be more joyous. And all the angels in the skies and in Karbala near him and seek forgiveness for the mourners.' Thus, without the least doubt, the Arba'in marches, wherever they are held around the world, and especially on the road leading from Holy Najaf to Holy Karbala, are manifest signs of the unity in diversity of the human race, which without the superficial differences of skin color, class, creed, language, and ethnicity, wants to interact with each other and live in peace, based on the universal mission of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, to sacrifice whatever he had, including life, for the defense of humanitarian values."
A walk towards a perfect world. Part 3.
In this very spirit, pictures and stories of martyrs killed for fighting injustice for the sake of Allah are spread out across the walk. Some mawqifs even specifically focus on these personalities to inspire others. It is clear that the Arba'in walk has many different elements, including peace, love, humanity, forgiveness, sacrifice, selflessness, and Islamic activism. Lots and lots of opportunities for someone to perfect themselves through this journey towards Imam Hussein. But how can one take full advantage of this experience in just a few days?
There are a number of things that somebody can do in order to take full advantage of the Arba'in walk. And in fact, we could look at it this perspective, that however much we get the opportunity to perform the Arba'een walk, each time can be an effort to try to gain more and more of it. Because I do believe that however much somebody takes from it, there's even more that they can take the next time around. Part of the way to be able to get that benefit is by observing the adab of the walk. There's certain etiquette that can be practiced. Things like making sure that somebody is in the state of constant remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, also in particular in remembrance of the one or the ones that they're going to be visiting, by taking care of their fellow zuwar, by treating them with a lot of respect, not pushing, allowing them to pass, for example, by not being overly engaged with like the sights and the sounds and the different offerings that are being given along the walk, by trying to walk in with a demeanor that somebody is, you know, going towards something great, and that means that, for example, trying to keep the head a little bit more down, and trying to walk in a dignified manner, also by not engaging in worldly sort of discussions, and trying to keep in the state of wudu as well. And a few others that are mentioned, it's worth studying this thing and to see what is it that the ulama have recommended, what type of adhkar and what type of remembrance of Allah did the great scholars like Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai perform when they went on the walk. These are things that we should research and ask the scholars and try to find out. If you look at the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, they talk about the reward of walking to perform ziyarah and how much reward each footstep can bear for the person who's performing them. It's tremendous. And there's something that the Ahlul Bayt wanted for us to achieve. So trying to make sure that we understand that perspective. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Whom am I going to see? The more that we understand the position of the Ahlul Bayt, the more our ma'rifah increases and our awareness increases, then the more that the walk will have meaning. But of course, in order to understand the position of the Ahlul Bayt, we have to understand the position of Allah Ta'ala. Consequently, the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we can start to begin to understand the position of the Ahlul Bayt. But even that, of course, is at a certain rudimentary level, and we hope that by virtue of the ziyarah, that the true knowledge will be given to us about the position of the Ahlul Bayt. So, by number one, observing the adab, by number two, increasing our awareness and ma'arifah of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and whom we're going to visit.
Why is it important to visit him? What makes this event so important? Its relationship with ourselves as individuals, ourselves as an ummah, and all humanity, both the past and the future, right? And I think something that we should think about while taking part in this amazing journey is to try to find our role in the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When we enter the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, it shouldn't only be an empty salam. It shouldn't only be an expression of emotion about what happened in the past, but rather it should be an expression of devotion and of resolution that I will do everything I can to make sure that your movement continues and reaches the entire world.
Don't make touching the shrine your purpose, which is, I think, something that we often fall into. It's a trap that we often fall into. It's not a mission for you to touch the shrine. Even if you stand outside and you say salam, but you say it with khulus, then you have, I'd say that you have reached to an extent making the most of your trip here. Your trip here is supposed to take whatever you have become so far and push yourself to the limit. Recognize that you're here surrounded by people from all over the world, and learn from their experiences. Learn from what they have gone through in life. Many of us, when we come here, we stay in hotels. Many of us who come here don't have that luxury. When you are walking amongst these people, you need to try, and I'm speaking to myself before anybody else out there, you need to try to see yourself as part of them. It's as if we're all blood vessels, and every path, every literal road full of people leading to the shrine of Imam Hussein is like a vein. And you can see the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam materializing here. Because he said that the ummah is like a body. If one part of it aches, the rest of it will also, you know, they'll stay awake out of fever and unrest until that part of the body is healed. Many of the people who come here for Arba'in, they're suffering. They are oppressed people. And I think one of the ways to take full advantage of this trip is to recognize the trials and tribulations of our fellow mu'mineen out there in the world and to be touched by them. Many people, they say, will walk in and out of your heart, but only a true friend will leave footsteps. Allow the people on this path to leave footprints in your heart.
The only power that's able to make this happen is love. Is love. It's only one thing which makes Arba'in happen, which makes this walk happen, and that's love. Pure, true love. If you want to experience that love, you have to come for Arba'in.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear Shia Muslims, Salamun Alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on 40th day of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today is 40th day of martyrdom anniversary of Shia's third Imam, Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. So please accept our condolences on this sad occasion.
Where are you from?
From America.
How many days are you watching?
2.5 days.
How was it?
It's amazing. It feels like home. I wish I could live here and do this every day.
It was really great experience. Ziyarat in one side and walking was another experience by itself.
It's a spiritual journey. It's the expression of love. And when you have love, it's hard. Physical discomfort doesn't matter at that time.
I really liked it. It was a really good experience. It's really amazing to see how Imam Hussein brought everyone together.
Why don't have any shoes?
Because of the pain they went through. It's not anything compared to that. So.
Because that's how I express my devotion to Imam Hussein.
I think in itself, the love of Imam Hussein is attracting millions of people here. And so this is going to keep increasing as our Imam is going to have a zuhur in our lifetime. I believe that. And this is a revolution throughout the world that you see in few months. We have seen in Egypt, we have seen in Tunisia, we have seen in Bahrain, and in America too, people are changing. I started recently wearing hijab and it's beyond. People respect me more for that.
Today, Wednesday, is the 20th of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For this part, we listen to Chapter An-Nisa, verse 59.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا.
O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. And if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger, if you should believe in Allah and the Last Day. That is the best way and best in result.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All the Shiite commentators have the same attitude on this matter, that the purpose of the phrase Ulul Amr mentioned in this verse is the immaculate imams to whom the physical and spiritual leadership of the Islamic society have been given by Allah and His Apostle. Of course, under some conditions, the obedience of those who are appointed to a rank of charge, a position in the society, is necessary. This obedience is not for that they themselves are those charged with authority, but for that they are agents of those charged with authority.
أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بيب الأحرار سيد الشهداء أبي عبد الله الحسين وجعلنا من المنتظمين بمصابهم مع إمامهن منصورهن من آل محمد.
40 in Islamic culture is the topic of this episode. 40 every year is a day of mourning for the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and pilgrims of Imam al-Husayn in Karbala. In this regard, Imam Sajjad, Shia's fourth Imam, says, "Whoever wants to be near his prophet, Ali, peace be upon him, and Fatima, peace be upon her, should not leave Imam al-Husayn's pilgrimage." But it is interesting to know that mourning on the 40th day of martyrdom is only for Imam al-Husayn and for the death of the prophet and the martyrdom of none of the Imams from his generation and other divine saints. Holding such an important ceremony is not recommended. Therefore, without a doubt, there is a special wisdom and expediency in this passionate ceremony. One of the most important reasons is the faithful and divine uprising of Imam al-Husayn in order to revive Islam and expose the crimes and corruption of the Umayyad government. Dear brothers and sisters, we offer our condolences on Arba'een, 40th day of Imam al-Husayn's martyrdom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about one of the significant religious events in the Islam world, which is called Arba'een. The next point with regard to the social aspect of Arba'een that I like to refer to is volunteerism. Many individuals and organizations volunteer their time and resources to support the pilgrims during Arba'een. They provide medical assistance, distribute free meal, offer transportation, as I said, transportation services, and ensure the smooth flow of the pilgrimage. The next point with regard to the social aspect of Arba'een is emotional connections. Arba'een holds deep emotional significance for participants. It is a time for mourning and remembrance of Imam Hussein's sacrifice, which evokes strong emotions of grief and sympathy and empathy among the pilgrims. This shared emotional experience strengthens the sense of community. The next point with regard to the social aspects of Arba'een is symbolic gestures. Pilgrims often carry flags, banners, and symbols representing their devotion to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, and their respective communities. These symbols serve as a visual representation of unity and identity.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. Arba'een March, most magnificent religious gathering in the world. This is the title of this part of today's special. In the Arba'een March, people of different colors, races, nationalities, and even other religions stand next to each other on a path to pay their respect to Hussein. This tendency should be sought in the character of Imam al-Hussein and his unique sacrifice for the cause of truth. Since the logic of Imam al-Hussein is the logic of defending the truth and standing up against oppression, misguidance, and arrogance, it has taken a place in the hearts of different nations of the world. Today, when the nations and especially the youth of the world are thirsty and need the spirituality and logic of Hussein, they come to him to better get a glimpse of Hussein's uprising in terms of knowledge and logic and introduce it to the world. Imam al-Hussein is not only for Shias, but belongs to all Islamic religions, both Shia and Sunni, and belongs to all humanity across the world. This episode of today's special is about Arba'een. We listen to Ayatollah Khamenei's speech on Arba'een. The Islamic Republic of Iran's leader says, "What we are told about the dear Iraqi brothers' behavior on the way to Karbala, such things are unprecedented in today's world. The Arba'een walk is unprecedented in history. Such is your generous behavior in the true sense of the word. You have shown Islamic generosity and the Arabs' generosity through your conduct and your actions. All of this originates from love for the Master of the Martyrs, peace be upon him, love for Hussein ibn Ali. You do these things because you greatly love Imam al-Hussein.
You washed the feet of the pilgrims walking to Hussein, and you held their bodies when they have become extremely fatigued. You message them, feed them, and provide them with places to sleep because they are the pilgrims of Hussein, peace be upon him. This love for Hussein ibn Ali is an extraordinary matter. We do not know of similar events anywhere else in the world or at any other time in the world.
Why did the Almighty God create us? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ Allah did not create me to work. Allah did not create me to do anything except to worship Him. Anything that falls in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reason for my creation. And anything that's not in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something that's keeping me away from the purpose of my creation. Yes, if my business and my family life is within the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's proper, it's moral and ethical, then that is a type of worship. If not, then I am not serving the purpose behind my creation. Allah created us, my dear brothers and sisters, to worship Him. When you go on a ziyarah like that, you remind yourself of the values for which Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrificed his life. And that in itself is one of the greatest acts of worship. Do you find people saying the same thing about Hajj? Do you know how many hadiths we have that it's so recommended to walk to the Hajj? Great servants of Allah would spend weeks walking to the Hajj. Haven't you heard that Imams Hassan and Hussein, they would spend 20 years of their lives walking from Medina to Mecca? It's a very long journey. That's 400 kilometers. It would take days, sometimes 2 weeks, in order to make that journey. Was that a waste of time? Sayyid Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, the master of the youth of paradise, is going to waste his time. But the Imam realized that with every step he's worshipping Allah. Because he's going to Baytullah al-Haram, he's going to the Kaaba, to the Umrah, to the Hajj, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a symbol who takes us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying him is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying his ziyarah is glorifying everything that has to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the peak of ibadah. There's nothing that you would waste about that, my dear brothers and sisters.
Dear brothers and sisters, please keep us in your dua and supplication. We pray Allah for success of every Muslims in this world. Thank you very much for your time and fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.